97.9 AG Reedsburg. We take you live to First United Church of Christ in Sauk City for the Sunday morning worship service. You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
Good morning. My name is Marcy Thurwachter, and I'm your liturgist this morning. We're excited to welcome Pastor Jennifer Seach to the pulpit this morning. The search committee has chosen Pastor Jennifer as our candidate to be the next minister of First United Church of Christ, Sauk City. Remember that following today's service, we will have a congregational meeting. Our radio broadcast this morning is sponsored by Cliff and Jan Lawton in memory of their fathers, Clifford Lawton Sr. and Clarence Scogan and son John. First Church has lost a longtime member, Nettie Gander, this past Tuesday. Nettie's funeral will be held here on Friday, June 21st at 2:30 with visitation from 12:30 until the beginning of the service. There will be a luncheon following the service, and anyone able to provide a dessert should contact Rose Kleiner. Additionally, there is a sympathy card in the narthex if you would like to share your condolences. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. It's good to be together this morning. We'll read our welcome statement. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that. First United Church of Christ is an open and affirming congregation. We strive to foster loving and caring relationships in our church and community, as we welcome and value all people. Whoever you are, however you identify, whomever you love, whatever your story, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome just as you are here at First United Church of Christ, Sauk City.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. The creator of the universe and lover of this marvelous world is with us this morning. May the prayers, music, and words we hear today be like seeds planted deep in our very beginnings, seeds that take root and grow to create in us gardens of faith, hope, and love. If you'd remain standing for the singing of our first hymn, Now the Green Blade Rises, in your New Century hymnal 238 and as seen on our screen.
Please join me in prayer. Holy God, sometimes we fail to plant seeds in the world around us when we hold our own desires over your vision, when our lives become so entangled with the values of the world that we forget the kingdom. We know that when we grow away from you, our lives are dry and fruitless. We hear the promise that God makes to us. Source of all that is beautiful, when we are in spiritual drought, you remain with us, in us, around us, ready to quench our thirst with living water, ready to help us grow in love, for which we all say, thanks be to God. Without exception, everyone is welcome at this table. So if you are hungry or even just curious, come and taste. Jesus came to be with us, to plant seeds, seeds of love, seeds of care, seeds of justice, to grow in communities around the world and through time. We continue to plant seeds. We don't know how they will grow, but we know that some will. For planting these seeds, he got in some trouble. There were people who did not like what he said about love for everyone, even the poor, even the oppressed. So on his last night, he sat with friends. He sat at the dinner table. And he taught them. He told them to love as he loved. He told them to serve. He washed their feet. He took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "Eat and remember me. Remember what I taught you. Remember how I love you. Remember who you are, and remember whose you are. Eat and remember this table where all are welcome." And he took the cup and he poured it, and he said, "Drink and remember. Drink and remember that all are welcome, all are wanted, all are beloved. Eat and drink and remember." Everyone is welcome at this table. Jesus will still love you. The bread of life broken for you. The bread of life broken for you. It is the bread of life, and it is yours. This is the bread of life broken for you. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for this opportunity to come to your table to be fed. We learned as children that we are what we eat. We are what we eat. And we have partaken of love, of community, of the divine. We are grateful. Amen. Now we have some kids' time, but I don't think we have any kiddos with us today. Oh, no. Would you like to come up? Anyone else? That's the thing. So I told Tammy that I needed a knife for kids' time. And she was a little mistrustful, perhaps. So today we are going to talk about seeds. It was lower than I thought it was. So I brought an apple. It's not a fantastic knife anyway.
Yeah, not terribly sharp, is it?
That's okay. We'll get in here.
All right.
How many seeds do you think are in here?
See, two?
Yeah.
Two?
I'm going to cut one of them.
About six. She's thinking six.
Yeah? Let's see. I did cut a few of them. A little bit in half. So I see at least, I think there's a little more in here. Three.
Careful.
Maybe six. So if we planted one of these and a tree grew, how many apples do you think there would be?
Hundreds.
600.
Yeah.
The first year?
No,
yeah.
Not the first year.
Many. Let's do many.
Many, many, many apples. Okay. Maybe 600 in the first year. Maybe not quite. But over a lot of years, this one little seed would be so many apples. And that is what Jesus talks about today with a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. You plant just a little mustard seed, even smaller than this, and so much can grow. So as we go through our weeks, as you go to school, so you're all out
school's
for summer.
Out.
School is out.
School is out.
Swimming lessons and gymnastics lessons and dance lessons and all the things. Planting seeds of kindness, of care, friendship, those can grow. And even though you're little, I'm looking at you now. I was expecting children. Even though you're little, you can do very, very big things. And I was going to cut the rest of this apple and give you a slice, but I think I'll...
You're going to pass?
I'm going to pass on that today.
Thank you.
But let's pray first. Holy God, bless all the children in our lives, in our hearts, in our communities, the kids, the grandkids, the great-grandkids. All those children, may they grow in wisdom and in faith, in love of you and love of their neighbors. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I am just going to stand on my robe here. It's the problem of wearing a long robe and also a long stole that you step on it sometimes. And now we have another hymn, or it might be something a little out of order here. Oh, now we're going to hear some Bible. It says in the order, it's a hymn. Should we just... The slide is up for Ezekiel.
Yeah, switch around.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Ezekiel 17, verses 22 through 24. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel, I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make dry trees flourish. I am the Lord, have spoken. I will accomplish it.
Our scripture reading is from the Gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter 4, 26 to 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise day and night, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself. First the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Word of God. Thank you. That was lovely. Look how well that fit. It's So possibly this afternoon, I am going to go buy some plants and some soil and some new pots and maybe some tomatoes, basil, zucchini, some cilantro, some flowers. Now, the fact that it is mid-June might indicate that I am a neglectful gardener. I like gardening. I've put in at least a few raised beds everywhere I've ever lived. But it's pretty easy to plan to start some seeds early in the spring and then not get to it. I don't know if anyone else has ever done that. And it's easy to not get around to buying your starts quite as early as you meant and get them in. Because there's Easter and Easter season and there's things. I love having vegetables and fruits and making some bruschetta with my own tomatoes and garlic and basil, and I love flowers, like picking a few strawberries and bringing them in for dessert. But I am not a fantastic gardener. I will not be a master gardener. Maybe after retirement, but probably not. And even so, with all of that that I have just admitted to you, I am far more on top of my garden than this kingdom of God is. We heard the first extended sermon from the Gospel of Mark. It's early on. Jesus has done just a few things, and today he slows down to talk. He doesn't do that a lot in Mark. It's the first time he's presented as a teacher. And this first time, he speaks a little while. He talks about the kingdom of God. What is it like? And he uses this kingdom language, Lord, King, because it was so recognizable in ancient times. Everyone knew what a kingdom was like. It was extreme inequality. It was leaders at the top and everyone else kind of at the bottom. It was violence, it was taxes, it was war, hunger, poverty, precarious existence for most people. Exploitation. So Jesus says the kingdom of God, and everybody at the time would have heard in comparison to the kingdom of Pilate and Caesar and Herod, the kingdom of God is different. And he makes these utterly ridiculous comparisons. They're nonsense almost. So far that from any kingdom that any of us, much less anyone 2,000 years ago, could even imagine. He says the kingdom of God is like a farmer. What the heck, Jesus? The kingdom of God is like a farmer? Like a non-white migrant worker? Kingdoms are not about manual labor. In fact, part of the point of kingdoms is so that the people on top don't have to do any labor. They were waited on hand and foot. So this first parable, and it's only found in the Gospel of Mark, the kingdom of God is like a gardener who scatters seeds on the ground and then goes off to sleep. The seeds fend for themselves, Mark says. The earth produces of itself. The stalk, the head, the full grain. When the grain is ripe, then the gardener harvests. In the second parable, someone sows a tiny seed, a mustard seed in the ground, and it grows into a gigantic bush, large enough to offer birds shelter. Both parables, insofar as they are to teach us what the kingdom of God is like, are so countercultural that they sound ridiculous. We're used to them. We've heard them. We've probably heard about this many times before. But they make zero sense. Jesus had more sense of humor than he gets credit for. We hear these things and think, oh, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's the Bible, so it must be serious. But these parables are big cosmic jokes. The kingdom of God is like a bean burrito. The kingdom of God is the checkout person at Trader Joe's. The kingdom of God is these ridiculous comparisons. They're intended to stretch our imaginations, to take our thinking about God and the kingdom of God far beyond where we would normally go. So the kingdom of God, it's a farmer. It's a teeny tiny mustard seed. The kingdom of God, what is it like, he says? I'm going to tell you. Okay. The kingdom of God. He starts with this gardener. We have some farmers, some gardeners here. Some really good gardeners, probably, who already put your plants in. Is this how your spring went? You threw out some seeds, and then you went and took a nap. Anyone? No, you probably kept an eye on the weather, started early, prepping the land, did some weeding, planted your seedlings, watched them, watered, fertilized, pruned, composted, watched for bugs and birds and bunnies and all those things. All the things that might affect your little seedlings. But the gardener, in Jesus' parable, he sleeps. He throws out some seeds, falls where it's gonna. Maybe he covers them, maybe he doesn't. It's not clear. He doesn't manage them. He's not up early, he doesn't stay up late, he doesn't fuss or protect or second guess. He leans into the rhythms of the earth. He trusts the seeds, he trusts the soil, he trusts the sun, the rain, the heat, the clouds. He even trusts the worms and the bugs. He trusts that the garden will grow. This is far more trusting than I would be once I get some things in the ground. He participates in the process. He doesn't just stay inside and hope that the birds will drop enough seeds for something to grow. He doesn't look out when it's harvest time and think, who knows, maybe it'll make its way in. He plants and he harvests. He gets out there and he gets to work. He pays attention when it's needed, but he doesn't tell himself that he can control everything or that he's in charge. He does his part and he trusts in the process. In this story, this kingdom, we don't have to do all the work. We don't have to micromanage. In fact, it probably gets in the way. We show up and we do our part. And God is going to do God's part, which is really the bigger part. It doesn't depend on us. The disciples in the story and those reading it and those hearing it this morning are reminded to maintain hope. God is the bringer of change, not us. We will do our part. We will do our part. But our part isn't all of it. Theologian Ched Myers calls this not passivity, but revolutionary patience. Revolutionary patience. It is hard to keep showing up and throwing out seeds. How many of you have invited a friend to church who says, no, thank you? But we keep throwing out seeds because soil is rich and mysterious and full of life. And all this magic, the seeds in the earth, receiving the sun and the rain, cracking open to reveal a tiny hint of green, the green that makes its way out of the seed, reaching up from the dark earth. We don't see any of this. We see little sprouts that come later. We don't know when we plant which seeds are going to grow and which won't. This is mystery. We don't know what's happening and we can't control it. But there is growth and there is greening. In Jesus' second parable, which is in the other Gospels, a sower seeds a mustard seed in the ground. And this is utterly ridiculous as well, for a lot of reasons. Mustard seeds are teeny tiny. Nobody planted them. Mustard was a weed. It's invasive and stubborn, and it's kind of noxious, and it's hard to get out once it's in your garden. If somebody in Palestine were to drop a mustard seed, it would pretty quickly take over the field, and they would have quite a job trying to get back all this mustard. Those jacques, they're teeny tiny, and nobody wanted to plant them. And there's some debate about exactly what plant Jesus is talking about here, because there isn't a kind of mustard from Palestine or Israel that has teeny tiny seeds and grows really quickly and gets super big. We've seen black mustard seeds. They're tiny, they can grow up to 20 feet. But maybe all this contradiction that makes it hard to figure out what Jesus is actually talking about, maybe that's the point. He could have chosen a genuine, beautiful tree for the parable. A pomegranate, a nice olive tree, something majestic or useful. But the author of Mark knew his Ezekiel, which Marcy read for us. Great trees growing, a cedar. The tip is broken off and planted in Israel to become a mighty tree. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind. This great tree will be a shelter. We see that elsewhere in Scripture, in Daniel. The tree you saw, which grew large and strong with its top touching the sky, visible to the whole earth, with beautiful leaves and abundant fruit, providing food for all, giving shelter to wild animals, having nesting places in its branches for birds. But we also heard from Marcy, from Ezekiel, all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree. I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. Those great trees, they're not all they have cracked up to be. The great trees will be brought down by the low trees. So what is Jesus saying when he discusses the holy and the sacred as a teeny tiny insignificant mustard seed? What does it mean to take a spindly invasive weed, a plant we would pull up and throw in the compost, and make it the very heart of God's kingdom? It's questions about who counts? Who counts for God? What is beautiful? What matters? And it is not what the world tells us. The wealthy, the beautiful, the white, the straight. Everyone matters. And sometimes great things come through people we don't expect them to. Jesus himself was kind of a mustard seed, a a brown-skinned backwater baby born of questionable parentage, into poverty on the edges of the empire. And the people who follow him at first, they are a ragtag bunch of raggedy fishermen and tax collectors. Tax collectors. They're the worst. They are ugly and wrong and despised. And they are the first to follow. So God's kingdom rests on people like this? Yes. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Gives this image of the birds finding safety and shade in the branches. It's a lovely image. I adore this. This image of all the birds. And it's a little strange still, too. Gardeners, how much do you want to have a lot of birds around your garden? I have had strawberry plants, just a couple, every year. And out of them, I may get two or three strawberries. The birds eat the rest. But the kingdom of God, that is not one where there is nesting to keep out the undesirables. That is one where the doors are open and hearts are open and minds are open and everyone gets to come in. Mark is writing to a community that's seen its temple destroyed. It doesn't know what's going to happen. There's Rome. Should they fight Rome? Should they collaborate? Should they give in? Get along? And Jesus says, no, there's another way. Trust God. Do your part and trust in God. These ridiculous, even offensive descriptions. Kingdom of God is a lazy, sleeping gardener. The kingdom of God is a mustard seed. Full of all sorts of birds, and by birds, Jesus meant us, and all the people who are excluded. Transgender kids, LGBT folks, mentally ill folks, addicted people, the poor. Everyone who's heard that they don't belong for whatever reason. And this is what the Ezekiel reading and the gospel have in common. There is this beautiful sanctuary, this beautiful place where everything is green, where everyone belongs, and there is space, and we don't have to make it happen. God is going to do God's part, and we just have to do our part. We don't have to be the soil and all the things. We just have to throw out some seeds. We just have to stay connected to God and each other and stay deeply rooted. Amen. Did I turn this on? We'll see. Now it's time to share prayers with our community, with God, who knows and loves us in all things. Any prayers to share today? Thank you.
Just a prayer for today. and a prayer of gratitude that we're in the spot we are in this process that we've been going on for a while. So, and thank you for coming here.
I am grateful to have been so well entertained this weekend by the high schoolers in town, especially some of our young members, Elena and Sam, and I can't remember the name of the girl that was in charge of costumes. She's a senior here. And possibly others that were in the Mean Girls production. It was truly a delightful, energetic production that just made me once again so grateful to live here in a town that truly supports and celebrates its young people and nurtures them so well.
I just want to say a word of thanks to the search committee for arranging the pastor meet and greet yesterday. I think that was a wonderful thing for them to do, and it was appreciated. It was a great turnout.
I'd like us to say prayers to remember Nettie Gander's family. Nettie lived a long life, and she was a wonderful lady. She'll be missed.
I just want to keep my mom and her family, our family, in our prayers because we lost our last aunt on my mom's side, and she was 96. Her name was Viola Schlappbach, and we're having a funeral on Wednesday, and so we just want to keep their family in our prayers and stuff, too.
Let's take a moment of silence for the prayers that we hold in our hearts. God does know. Holy God, today we give thanks for this community, this church, this process. Thanks for time together to meet yesterday. Thanks for the search committee that has done a lot of work over 2 years. We give thanks for art, for young people. We give thanks for Mean Girls, perhaps the only time anyone has ever said that. And holy God, we pray for comfort, your peace, for the families of Nettie and Viola.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.